Marvels and Wonders, original stories for kids. Hey, marvelous and wonderful people. This is Anna. Welcome to Marvels and Wonders. This is the very first episode. Guys, this is so exciting. I'm so glad you could join me today. I love writing and sharing stories. Some of the stories might be a little bit silly. Others might just make you a bit sleepy. If you're anything like the two marvelous and wonderful people I have at home, then you too probably like falling asleep to a story. Regardless of where you're listening, whether you're in the car, on the couch, in your bed, upside down, in a tree, I hope you enjoy the stories. Have you ever had a dream? A really big wish? Something you hoped for or wanted for a really long time? One giraffe named Clarabelle had a really big dream. She wanted to travel somewhere, and the way she got there was through a can of tuna. Get comfortable and ready to listen. Let's begin. Clarabelle and the Can of Tuna. Clarabelle was a tall girl. In fact, she was so tall that she had to duck down to get through doors. Her feet and neck always stuck out of her blanket and hung over the edge of her bed. When she went to the movie theater, she had to sit at the very back row so her neck didn't block the view of people behind her. She didn't like the way some people would look up at her, their eyes wide, their mouths gaping open. It made her feel like she was an alien from outer space, not just an orange and brown spotted tall animal with a long neck living with humans. One day, when she was out at the grocery store with her family, people left and right stopped to stare at her. One man even dropped a carton of grade A free-run eggs. The shells had burst from the container and the yellow-orange yolks gooped out onto the floor. A lady decorated in diamonds, distracted by Clarabelle's height, slipped and landed heartily on her bottom in the squelchy mess. Clarabelle's cheeks turned bright pink, and she took off at a jaunty jog until she found a tall display of canned tuna to hide behind. She moved the cans this way and that way until they completely hid her from head to toe, like it was her own canned tuna home. As she sat in her cylindrical shelter of tin, she noticed the labels on the canned food. Win a trip to Africa. Clarabelle put her hand to her mouth. Africa? She had read about that place. It was a large country, far away across the Atlantic Ocean. She had read that there were special creatures there, ones with trunks, some with manes of hair, others as tall as trees. Tall. She wondered if it could be possible. That was it. She just had to win that contest and get herself to Africa and away from the staring eyes of the people here. If some of the animals in Africa were tall, maybe no one there would stare at her. But how to win? Clarabelle picked up one of the tuna cans again and squinted her eyes to read through the terms and conditions. Chances of winning are 1 in 100,000. 1 in 100,000? Breathed Clarabelle. She quickly counted the cans that made up her makeshift home, turning on her bottom as she went. 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, 1,000. That meant the chances of the winning fishy dinner container being won from her vast fortress was only 1%. Very, very small. She didn't have any money to buy any cans of tuna either, but she was sure if she asked her parents, they would purchase some cans for her school lunches. Clarabelle took a steadying breath and prepared to leave her fishy enclosure. But just as she was reaching for the handle, there was a knock at the door.
Who is it?
Called Clarabelle.
It's Brandon,
The seafood department worker, I sort of need these cans back as they're blocking the rows of shrimp nuggets.
She opened her tuna door and ducked her head to exit. You can't fire me because I quit, stated Clarabelle confidently. She had read that line in her favorite detective book series. She stretched up to her full height and looked down at Brandon's beady eyes. Not surprisingly, his jaw dropped. Take care of this house, Clarabelle said, and Brandon just stood there and nodded, mouth wide open, as he began to dismantle her fort. Clarabelle walked with purpose down to the household cleaner's aisle, where she knew her parents would be. Sure enough, as she rounded the corner to start going down the row, she spotted them, smelling the different fragrances of laundry soap.
Ooh, smell this one, crooned her mother, passing the bottle to her father.
At the sound of her approaching hoofsteps, they both looked up at her. They ran to her and enclosed her in a tight hug.
Oh, Clarabelle, sighed her father as he patted her back. Is there any special snack we can get you to help cheer you up from that embarrassing moment with the eggs?
Clarabelle smiled a slow, determined smile and said,
Tuna.
And that was the beginning of the tuna age. Clarabelle ate tuna for breakfast. She ate tuna for lunch. She ate tuna for dinner. And for snacks, you guessed it, tuna. Can after can after can, Clarabelle would open the lid and peek underneath it, hoping to see the word winner. But day after day, she had no such luck. 2 weeks had passed, then three, and still, each tuna lid revealed nothing more than beigey pink fishy clusters and the words, Please try again. At least the message said please, thought Clarabelle. One day, while Clarabelle was walking home from school, she noticed a little boy talking to his mom.
I don't like tuna, said the boy, clearly distraught, as he handed back the silver can to his mother. Liberty plugs, replied the mother, then turned around quickly to see if anyone had heard her garish expression of words.
When she saw Clarabelle staring at her, her cheeks went red with embarrassment. Clarabelle, however, was not staring because the woman had blurted out such profanity as liberty plugs, but because of the can of tuna. Clarabelle glided over to the woman and came within inches of her face. The woman took a step back instinctively, but Clarabelle closed the gap between them again.
Muttered the lady, can I help you?
Clarabelle opened her mouth, but no words came out. She tried again and managed a hoarse whisper.
Tuna,
she croaked.
Oh,
said the woman, taking a step closer to her son and hiding him behind her back.
This?
The woman asked, raising an eyebrow in what appeared to be suspicious surprise. Clarabelle nodded reverently and bowed her head down low so that she was now eye to eye with the woman. The woman looked from her son to the tuna, then to Clarabelle, then back to the tuna, then to her son, then to the office building across the street, then to Clarabelle, then to her son, then to the tuna, and finally said,
Okay, you can have it.
Clarabelle leaped with joy, then took the can carefully in her hands and cradled it like a precious little newborn baby armadillo. She turned to the mother and said,
Long live you, tuna goddess.
And with that, she was back on her way home, a skip in her trot now. As soon as Clarabelle opened the door to her house, she jumped straight into the kitchen and pulled open the drawer that held her quickly accumulating collection of can openers. There were pink ones with white stars, blue ones with rainbows, and gray ones from the local hardware store. She rifled through the lot until she had the one she was looking for. It was yellow with gold glitter accents throughout the handle. This was the can opener for winners. She was sure of it, especially tuna contest winners. At least, that's what she hoped, anyway. She latched the cutting wheels of the can opener along the rim carefully and began to turn the handle, slowly, patiently. Clarabelle steadied herself with a deep breath in through her nose. She held the breath for a moment before breathing it out slowly through her mouth. She She looked at the underside of the lid, and there, printed in all capital letters, was the word Winner! Clarabelle shrieked and sang the alphabet song as she twirled and yelled with joy.
She was going to Africa. She was going to the land of the tall trees.
That evening, when Clarabelle's parents had come home from work, they were delighted to hear that she had won the contest, and they were even more delighted to learn that she had, in addition to the trip to Africa, also won a lifetime supply of canned tuna.
Low sodium.
To celebrate, they ate tuna casserole with green peas and white cream sauce.
It was delicious.
Saturday morning came, and Clarabelle woke up early to pack for Africa. She crammed shirts and pants into her suitcase, as well as sunblock, sun hats, and sunglasses. She ate a quick breakfast of orange juice and scrambled eggs,
waffles, raspberries, pickles, lettuce, garbanzo beans, dumplings, cereal, pasta, and milk,
brushed her teeth, and went outside to load her luggage into the car. She was buzzing with excitement all the way to the airport, her head sticking out of the sunroof. That was the only way she fit in the car. Her parents parked the car and walked her to the doors where they hugged her tightly.
Have fun, sweetie, said her mother.
Be safe, said her father.
I will,
Clarabelle called back to them as she walked through the doors of the airport. The plane ride was a tight fit, to say the least. She had to take an aisle seat and crane her neck across the entire row beside her. The people beside didn't seem to mind, though. They simply ate their airplane pretzels, using her neck as a tray. Finally, the plane landed and the pilot announced,
"Welcome to Africa."
Clarabelle rubbed her sore neck as she exited the plane. Then her mouth fell open. Was it the beautiful trees and lush grasses that covered the savanna? Not quite. What she saw was remarkable. Unbelievable.
She saw the most beautiful, tall, towering gift shop she had ever seen.
African souvenirs, it said. Clarabelle loved souvenirs. This was going to be even better than she had imagined. But where were the tall animals and people?
Clarabelle browsed the gift shop for a few hours before deciding to leave it to explore the country. She paid for her two magnets and hopped on a bus with a sign that said,
"See all the things to see," on it, letting her tall neck fit through the sunroof as she sat at the back. About 23 minutes had passed when she noticed the scenery changing. Grassy fields with tall trees and... No. It couldn't be. What were those tall animals with orange and brown spots?
Why, they looked just like Clarabelle. This couldn't be right. She was one of a kind.
Suddenly, Clarabelle ducked her head down from the sunroof and ran to the bus doors, flinging them open while the bus still rushed along the road.
"What are you doing?"
demanded the driver. But Clarabelle didn't have time for idle chit-chat. She leapt off the bus, rolling on her side as she landed in the grassy savanna. She stumbled to her hooves and trotted over to the creatures,
who looked so much like herself.
"Excuse me," she called.
The animal stopped munching leaves and turned to look at Clarabelle.
"Hello,"
the tallest of them said.
"Are you new here?"
"I'm from Canada," she explained. "I won the tuna contest."
"Oh, how lovely,"
the tallest replied.
"It's always wonderful to have another giraffe about."
"Jarlaff?"
Clarabelle replied, confused as she tried the new word out on her tongue. The other giraffes laughed a little, then fell silent when they realized she had never heard the word before.
"You mean," said another giraffe, "you didn't know you were a giraffe?"
Clarabelle looked from one giraffe to another and said,
"I had no idea there were others like me."
Tears of joy welled up in her eyes as the other giraffes surrounded her, embracing her with their long necks.
"Oh, sorry, Melvin. That's okay, dear."
"Welcome home," they each said.
"Welcome home."
"Welcome home."
And Clarabelle knew.
knew for the first time she was truly home.
That night, Clarabelle had a warm bath in her complimentary motel room. After, she called her parents and invited them to come live with her in Africa. Without hesitation, they agreed and were there the next day. Together, they had a hybrid of town comforts and wilderness living. And yes, they lived happily ever after. So, wonderful and marvelous people, whenever you have a dream you want to come true, just remember to look, even in the most unlikely of places, for a way to make it happen. Maybe the answer is under a can of tuna. Who knows? I'll be back in 2 weeks with a new story. See you then. The Marvels and Wonders podcast, including the accompanying musical tracks for this episode, were written and produced by me, Anna Beezer.